All right, we're live on Tuesday night for our 8:30 podcast. I hope the microphone's working. I forgot to check it. Look, it looks like it is. Looks like we're good. We're live on Tuesday night for our weekly live stream. The podcast gets released on Wednesdays, and you know everybody likes to chime in on the podcast during the live stream, and that's what's fun. I like having the conversations, but you know, sitting here getting ready for the podcast, I'm, you know, messing around on Twitter and doing this and doing that, and seeing a pirate hit a home run and miss first base. I mean, I don't even know what you say about something like that. I watched the video multiple times, and it's not even close. It's not even close to being on first base. This is a Pitt football, Pitt basketball, Pitt recruiting podcast, but man alive. And I was just watching this just before I hit go on the podcast. So, you know, that's my, you know, it's fresh in my memory, I think. But holy cow, how can you miss first base? That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Welcome to the Panther Lair Show for Tuesday, June 8th, 2021. I'm Chris Peek from PantherLair.com. I introduced myself and, you know, I kind of feel like we've been, you know, we've got 600 or so of these podcasts in, a year and a half or so of these live streams. You probably know who I am, but I figure I can at least introduce myself every now and then in case we have somebody new jumping in right at the start of the podcast and they're like, who is this guy? Who am I looking at here on the live stream? Well, Chris Peek, PantherLair.com. You should know the website. Even if you don't know me, you should know PantherLair.com. It's panther-lair.com, pittsburgh.rivals.com. It's the most comprehensive source of Pitt sports news on the internet. Football, basketball, recruiting. You find it all at PantherLair.com. And of course, you can find message boards where you can interact with hundreds and thousands of your closest Pitt fan friends. I'm still distracted by that missed first base on the home run. I can't believe that happened. Yeah, the message boards at PantherLair.com. I tend to think that's a big part of the appeal. You know, I think we provide a lot of content. We provide a lot of, you know, news, a lot of things for you to read and, you know, keep you informed on everything going on with Pitt sports. But then you go to the message boards and talk about it. And I think that's one of the big things we have going for us at PantherLair.com. We got a great community of Pitt sports fans. We got a great community of people who gather every day, all day, literally 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There are people, there are people on the message boards talking about Pitt sports. You can go look at the boards and see all the posts. You know, there are posts that even happen overnight. It's the place. If you are a Pitt fan, you're looking for an online Pitt sports community, I can't really recommend anything higher than PantherLair.com. I think it's the place to go for all the Pitt sports news that you're looking for. I think that's where you want to be, panther-lair.com. Of course, every Tuesday night we get together for this podcast here at 8:30 p.m. We changed up the schedule last week and moved the podcast to Wednesday night, moved the live stream to Wednesday night just because there was so much recruiting going on Tuesday. Pitt had a bunch of recruits on campus for unofficial visits on Tuesday. And, you know, so we spent all our time with that and then moved the podcast to Wednesday night. But it's back on Tuesdays. You know, Tuesday is our night. Tuesday is the night for the podcast, the live stream, and release the podcast on Wednesday. That's kind of what we do. So, you know, we get back to our regular routine. It's good to be back here on a Tuesday night. There's a lot to talk about, of course, with everything going on in Pitt sports. And the big thing right now is recruiting. Pitt had official visitors on campus. They had 10 guys on campus last week, Thursday to Sunday. Probably going to have about a dozen this week, Thursday to Sunday. We've got most of those names confirmed on PantherLair.com. Still tracking down a couple. We'll hope to have them confirmed by the time the visits start on Thursday. We'll have an official visit preview so you know who is coming in and who to keep an eye on. But it's really, recruiting is the name of the game. And this was the biggest thing out of the weekend. What's the best word? It's like a chump thing to say. It's a goofball thing to say, and nobody cares. But the reality is, it was good to feel like work again, you know. And certainly over the last year, me and, you know, Jim Hammett and Steve Gertz and Houston Wilson and Matt Steinbring and all the people that write for us at PantherLawyer.com. I hope I named everyone. Josh Hammack does football analysis stuff for us. We all worked a lot over the last year. There's no question. You know, I mean, we worked through the football season, you know, through the summer of recruiting and, you know, the football season in the fall and the basketball season in the winter and everything into the spring. We worked. I mean, we had content every day on PantherLawyer.com. There was always something to write about, something to talk about on PantherLawyer.com. And so I don't want to act like we didn't work for the last year, but this last week, from official visits where there's 10 guys on campus and they're all leaving on Saturday and we've got, you know, 10 articles up, eight, nine articles up on Saturday and Sunday, recapping those official visits, working the phones, trying to track those guys down. And then on Sunday, Pitt held its prospect camp, first prospect camp in 2 years, where they had a couple hundred guys in the South Side working out. Very few of them were Power 5 prospects. Very few of them were guys that Pitt will legitimately recruit. But just being in that environment again, having the coaches, working with players, coaching guys, trying to get a look at guys, evaluating guys, being around that, you know, said hi to Pat Narduzzi. Haven't seen the guy in person since March of 2020. I mean, I think is really the last time I was at, you know, I went to one of the spring camps. I think they had three spring camp practices in March of 2020. I went to one of those and covered it and talked to Pat Narduzzi in the, you know, post-practice media scrum. And then they closed things down. And I haven't seen the guy. I haven't seen Pitt's head football coach in person since then. So it's been 15 months. You know, it was funny. We joked with each other. Yeah, I haven't seen you in a long time. I feel like I haven't seen you in person in more than a year, because that's what it's been. It's been all Zooms since then. It's the same way with the entire Pitt coaching staff. You know what I mean? I haven't seen any of those guys. I haven't been in the same room. I haven't been in the South Side. All right? I got down to the South Side on Sunday, took a picture of the indoor facility, and just said, I haven't been here in 15 months, which is crazy. I mean, you cover a team, you expect to be there. You're around all the time. No. And so on kind of a personal level and a professional level as well, but on kind of a personal level, this past weekend felt like a big step. You know, there are a lot of steps we haven't taken yet. I haven't gone to a bar yet. Took the kids to a store today, had them wear masks and all that stuff. I mean, we're not going to talk about masks or debate masks. I don't care to get into that conversation. But my point is that there are a lot of ways where we're not, you know, there are a lot of steps back to whatever normal is that we haven't taken. We haven't taken those steps back. But there are some steps we've taken, you know, gyms reopening or, you know, not wearing a mask at the barber or whatever it is. This past weekend for me was a pretty big step, you know, covering an official visit weekend, getting down in the South Side. You can probably see I've got a bit of a sunburn. If I pulled up my sleeve or pulled down the neck of my shirt a little bit, you would see the incredible farmer's tan, the kind of farmer's tan that you can really only gain through covering a prospect camp on a Sunday in June. And that's what I did. And I came out of it and I was like, got a bit of a sunburn. Kind of reminds me of what things were like 2 years ago and for the 13 years before that. So it was good to get back in the swing of things. And I think the Pitt coaches would probably agree. Those prospect camps are long and hard. They work really hard during those days. They're out there grinding away just as much as the players. But I think they enjoyed it. You know what I mean? I think they appreciated being back to work in that sort of sense. And again, football coaches, they never stopped working over the last 15 months. They never quit. They might have actually worked harder. You know, Pat Narduzzi, if he can't bring you into the office, he's going to make sure you have plenty to do at home. And so it's not like they didn't work, but it's a different kind of work when you're doing something you haven't been able to do. I mean, that was something that, you know, in-person recruiting was taken away for 15 months. Coaches couldn't do it. Recruits couldn't do it. People like me couldn't cover it. Now it's back. And I talked about this a little bit last week. You know, June 1st was last Tuesday, the first day of in-person recruiting since the first week of March. And Pitt had a bunch of the top local prospects come down on campus. It was a big deal. It was a big day. And, you know, I think it was the Pitt coaches were excited to be back at it. Recruits were excited to be back at it. People like me were excited to be back at it. It was fun. And it's nice to be, quote unquote, working again. in something that resembles what it was like to work 2 years ago. So that's fun. You know, news out of the official visit weekend, and I think we already got a question right off the top about it. I think Josh Newark jumped in first of all and said, you know, first comment on the live stream, Peak, where are the Pat signals? Should have had some by now. And so they had 10 official visitors on campus over the weekend. And, you know, those June official visits often lead to commitments. So I can understand where Josh is coming from. Of course, out of those 10 official visitors, one was already committed. So that's Sean Fitzsimmons from Central Valley. So you go look at the other nine. One of them didn't have an offer or doesn't have an offer. So that leaves eight guys. But why didn't the other eight commit? Well, this is something I was planning on talking about tonight anyway. And I think it's an important talking point. I think it's an important thing to understand as we move through the month of June. And it'll become less relevant as time goes on, but it's particularly relevant here in the first week of June. Going into that official visit weekend, I thought, and I still think, Pitt had a great chance with a bunch of the guys that they brought in for the official visits. Almost all of them. I think they have a really good shot. I don't think they're going to land all of them, but I think they're going to land a bunch of them. And I think they were in really good, strong shape with a lot of those guys coming in. And we know how good Pat Narduzzi and his staff have been with official visits. And so I thought, okay, they're in good shape with these guys already. They're going to bring them in and have, you know, put on a real show during the official visit weekend. And, you know, like they usually do. And that was the case. And when we talked to these guys coming out of their official visits, almost to a man, they all talked about how Pitt is, you know, way higher on my list than they were going into the visit. Pitt is at the top of my list right now. I'm thinking a lot more about Pitt than I was prior to this. Pitt is, you know, my top school or one of my top schools. They've really climbed up the list. I mean, you got these kind of comments from all of those guys we talked, almost all those guys we talked to. And that's what I expected. That's what I thought would come out of the weekend. What I did not think was going to come out of the official visit weekend was a slew of commitments or a run of commitments. I was right about that. And the reason I didn't think there would be a run of commitments, and the answer to your question, Josh, of where are the commitments, you have to think about this from the recruit's perspective. All right. So these guys who are visiting now, they finish up their junior year, they're going into their senior year of high school. Last summer, last June, last spring, they should have been out on the road going to prospect camps, going and visiting colleges. Through the fall, they should have been going and visiting colleges. In February, they should have been going to junior days. In January, they should have been going to junior days. In March, they should have been going to spring practices and all these things. And they were unable to do that. They were unable to do any of it. And in addition, they also watched the class ahead of them, the 2021 class, the guys who were going to be freshmen in college this year, who graduated from high school. They watched that class go through their entire recruiting cycle, never being able to take official visits. Because those guys who were coming in as freshmen this year, they never took an official visit. And the official visit is an important part of the recruiting process. And recruits all understand that. College coaches understand that. People who advise recruits understand how important a part of it is, because you really sort of immerse yourself in the college atmosphere or in the atmosphere of the college that you're looking at. And so you have these guys who are coming in on this official visit to Pitt or going out on official visits, because there were official visits all over the place last week. And you have these guys coming in, and from their perspective, they're coming into this official visit weekend having, in some cases, never taken a college visit before. Watching the class ahead of them go through the whole recruiting process without official visits. Probably talking to guys in that class about how much it sucked to not be able to take an official visit, about how much they felt like their recruiting process didn't really happen, how much they felt like they were held back in their recruiting process or didn't fully experience it because they were unable to take official visits. And so they've got all that on their minds. And to a man, when we talk to these guys before their official visits to Pitt, we ask them, do you have more visits scheduled after your Pitt visit? To a man, they all said yes. And they all at least had one. In some cases, had two or three more scheduled just for the month of June. Now, it's not unheard of that a guy would go into one visit, having two or three additional visits scheduled, and end up loving his first official visit so much that he cancels the rest and he just jumps right on it and he's done in the recruiting process. It's not unheard of. We've seen it happen. I didn't think that would happen this year because of everything I just said. I think these recruits, these guys who are in this 2022 recruiting class, have a different perspective on the recruiting process. And they are going to take their official visits. They're going to take a couple. I thought it was highly unlikely that any of them would commit after their first visit. Just because they had these official visits scheduled, they had more visits scheduled, and they hadn't really gotten a chance to visit any schools. And so it seemed unlikely that they would just jump on their first visit and commit and close down the recruiting process without ever seeing another school. It seemed unlikely to me. And it turns out, you know, I think that was the case. And I think it was the case across the country. I think you can look around. There weren't a lot of commitments in college football this past weekend, really across the country. There were some. You know, I think Rutgers got one. Rutgers is rolling right now. Greg Schiano's got something going on there with the recruiting. He's doing a good job recruiting at Rutgers, which he has done in the past. Never actually won a Big East, but, you know, he's done a good job recruiting in the past, and he seems like he's doing it again now. But there weren't a lot of commitments across the country this past weekend. And I think it's for that reason that I'm talking about. The guys wanted to take their official visits. I think guys want to go out and at least take a couple official visits before they commit. A lot of these guys still want to make their decisions by the end of June or at some point in July or sometime before their senior season starts. So I don't think they're going to stay on the board forever. I don't think all these guys are going to push their recruitment into January or something like that. But they want to take a couple of visits. And so Pitt came out of this visit in strong position with, you know, Marcus Peterson, the wide receiver, or Travius Lathan, an outside linebacker or safety. You know, Dominique McKenzie, the wide receiver from Utah. I mean, all these guys, they did really well with them. But they want to take more visits. And I don't think you can blame them for that. I think the Pitt coaches understood it and understand it. The Pitt coaches had, you know, definitely planted the seed with a few guys that, look, your spot might not always exist. Your spot might not always be there. These spots could fill up and, you know, you might run out of room and you might not be able to commit at some point in the future. But I think they understood, you know, there's only so much pressure you can put on. And I think if you're going to put pressure on a guy to commit, you don't want to waste it. And if you have a pretty good feeling that even with pressure, this guy's not going to commit, don't put the pressure on. You don't want to leave the impression of pressure, if that makes any sense. And I don't think the coaches really should have had a feeling that any of those guys were going to commit. Even Tyrese Fearbury, you know, the defensive end from Perry, who was at Pitt on Tuesday for an unofficial visit, came back for the official visit Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then came back one more time on Sunday for the prospect camp. There's no point in putting pressure on that kid when he's got three more official visits scheduled, and he's going to Kentucky, and he's going to Penn State, and he's going to Auburn. He's going to take those visits. You know, he's going to take those visits. There's no point in trying to lean on him if he's really set on those visits. And so I wasn't surprised, Josh. I mean, to come back around to your question, I wasn't surprised about Pitt not getting any commitments. I didn't think they would get any commitments. And actually, if you go read the 3-2-1 column on PantherWire.com from a couple of weeks ago, it's three things we know, two questions we have, one prediction. My prediction, which the predictions never come right in those columns, that the predictions are almost 100% wrong, almost without fail. My one prediction was that Pitt wouldn't get any commitments out of the visit weekend. Turned out to be right. First time I've gotten a prediction right. And it's, I just think you back it up. You know what I mean? I think it makes sense when you look at it from the recruit's perspective of what they really would want to do. And so I think that's why. But now, I think Pitt will get some guys, multiple players from that visit weekend to ultimately commit. The key is you've got to make sure they don't forget how much fun they had at Pitt. You got to make sure they don't forget how great of a time they had on their Pitt official visit. You got to be in touch with them right now through this week leading into this next official visit they're going to take. And then as soon as that visit's over, hell, maybe even during that visit, you got to be in touch with them. Hey, that was a good time at Pitt, wasn't it? You remember, how's it going down in wherever, Morgantown or Lexington or wherever? Oh, yeah. It's kind of like, remember when this happened up in Pitt? You know, that's what you need to do. You got to make sure that Pitt visit stays fresh in their memory, because there's going to be some competition. Because here's the thing about recruiting and official visits. They're made to be amazing. They're supposed to be great experiences, and they almost always are. You know, very rarely are there bad official visits. If there's a bad official visit, then either the kid never wanted to be there in the first place, or the college coach has seriously misread the situation of what the kid is looking for and how to give him the best experience possible. So official visits are great. And even if player A had a great time at Pitt, he's probably going to have a great time at Penn State or Kentucky or, you know, Miami or wherever else he goes. You've got to make sure to remind him of how good his time was at Pitt, so that ultimately it stays above the line. You know what I mean? It's got to, that's your job now, is to fight off those other official visits until the point comes when that recruit decides to commit. We often usually like to say that it's best to have the last visit, because then you'll be the freshest in their memory. And I think there's some truth to that. Pitt, I mean, they didn't blow it out this weekend with 20-some guys or anything crazy like that, or 18 or 19 official visitors. They only brought in 10, and like I said, you know, one is already committed, one doesn't have an offer. So, I mean, it was really sort of 8 recruiting targets. So it's not like their entire recruiting board came in this past weekend. They'll get to be the last visit for some other guys, and they'll have, like I say, about a dozen guys coming in this coming weekend. And, you know, that's further down the timeline of when you're going to make that impression on recruits. Will they get any commitments out of this coming weekend? I don't know. I don't have a great feel for these guys just yet. We're going to do some investigating in the next couple of days and certainly monitor the situation. But I would say this. With each passing weekend, Pitt probably, their likelihood of getting a commitment increases with each official visit weekend. Their likelihood of getting a commitment on the weekend, if you understand what I'm saying. Like I say, some of these guys who visited this past weekend, I think they'll get commitments from them at some point in the future. This coming weekend, there's probably a slightly better chance that they get someone to commit this weekend. And in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whenever their next official visit weekend is, I think the chances will be even higher that they get somebody to commit that weekend, in addition to commitments they may pick up from this past weekend or this coming weekend. So I kind of think that's I think that's what makes June 2021 unique. You know, like I say, when you look around the country, there weren't a ton of commitments around the whole country, which is atypical. For the first weekend in June, an official visit weekend, you're usually going to have a big rush of commitments. But June 2021 is unique for all those reasons I said. And I think that's why you didn't see that big rush like you normally would. It's a unique month, obviously, in unique times in which we're living, and recruiting is reflecting that. I think it will sort of balance its way out. You'll end up with a bunch of June commitments. They'll just maybe come in July. you know, guys might commit in late June, or guys who visited in June will end up committing in July or August or something like that. So it's different. It's a different time, Josh. And I know everybody wants the commitments, but that's I think what the situation is. Let's see here. S Mac with a basketball question. Hi, Chris. Predict your starting lineup for Pitt Hoops game 1. All right, game 1. Run through this real quick. Femi Odekali is your starting point guard. Nike Sabandi at the 2. Will Jeffers at the 3. Dan Oladapo at the 4. And John Hughley at the 5. Potentially Mogi, the transfer from Stony Brook, who they signed, the America East Defensive Player of the Year, maybe ends up as the starter at the 5. I could see that. That would be the one spot where I'm sort of back and forth. But I think the other 4 are going to be your starters. And then, like I say, I think Mogi or John Hughley end up being the starter at the 5, and both of them get a lot of minutes. You know what I mean? I think, and you know, I don't know if we talked about Mogi last week. I forget if we broke down kind of his commitment or pledge to Pitt. You know, the key with Mogi, big center from Stony Brook who committed, you know, is coming in as a transfer. Pitt just hasn't had somebody who could really affect shots around the rim. You know, a legit shot blocker. And that's what Mogi is. He averaged like three blocks a game last year. I mean, they had Terrell Brown, but Terrell Brown was playing 11 minutes. And Terrell Brown was a decent shot blocker. But again, there's only so much you're going to get out of a guy when you can't trust him for more than 11 minutes a game. You know, or that's what he ends up averaging. I think Mogi, they're going to get better than 11 minutes per game out of it. And I think he's going to end up, I don't know if he's going to average three blocks per game, but I think he can be a deterrent. And I think that's where a lot of his usefulness is going to come in. I think he should be able to rebound well. And again, in blocking shots, that's going to be a big part of it. And Chris Payton, the junior college guy who they signed, is going to have a role in there as well. And I think it's just going to be a team that's going to rely a lot on athleticism. They're going to rely a lot on rebounding and defense, which, I mean, we've talked about week after week during the season. We've talked about it quite a bit in the postseason. But they're going to rely on defense. They're going to rely on rebounding. And I think shot blocking is going to be a little bit more of a strength for this team than it has been in the past. I don't know if it's going to be a strength. I don't know if they're going to be the best shot blocking team in the ACC or something like that. But I think they'll be able to be, they should be more effective at it this year than they were previous years. And I think it's because of those guys that they brought in, Chris Payton and Mogi. So Mogi might start at center, or it might be Hughley. I would say one of those two. But the other four I'm relatively confident about. Let's see here. TRR says, seems like an important year recruiting offensive linemen. Need to complement the younger guys already on the roster. Let's see here. Let's bring up the scholarship board. I saw your question, but we could bring it up here and just take a quick look at what the offensive line situation looks like. You know, I mean, there's always going to be the whole matter of you know, super seniors and who ends up, you know, sticking around or spending an extra year. That's going to change your depth situation as you go forward. But just kind of glancing at it right now, they did sign four offensive linemen last year in this class that's coming in now to be freshmen. Trey Anderson and Terrence Enos and Kyle Fugetti and Terrence Rankle to go with the two guys they signed last year, Michael Statham and Branson Taylor. And I think Branson Taylor is going to be a good player. I think he's a guy who will probably find himself in the depth chart this year as a backup at tackle or guard. And I think he'll be a legit player for them. I think Matt Gonsalves, who's in the redshirt sophomore class this year, he should be a starter, I would think. You know, so you look at those sort of three lower classes, freshman, redshirt sophomores, you're looking at 8 guys. With Jason Collier and Matt Gonsalves as redshirt sophomores, Michael Statham and Branson Taylor as redshirt freshmen, and then Anderson, Enos, Fugetti, and Rankle as freshmen. So there are numbers there in those lower classes. But, I mean, to your comment, TRR, is that it's an important year for recruiting offensive linemen. I mean, look, man, every year is an important year for recruiting offensive linemen. I mean, O-linemen, and in the past you would have said quarterbacks, are just two spots that you need to get talented players every year. I mean, you just do. And if you end up getting too many good quarterbacks and some of them transfer, that's okay because you still have good quarterbacks, right? Offensive linemen, you just can never have too many good ones. So I think every year is important for recruiting good offensive linemen. Coaches will sometimes not take a year off, but maybe only get two guys like they did last year or 2 years ago, I guess, with Statham and Taylor. I think you play with fire a little bit when you do that. If it was me, and again, if the numbers allow it, and I don't have any crazy situations going on, I'd probably get at least three offensive linemen every year. And so I think that's got to be the target for, you know, this recruiting class, this 2022 recruiting class as well, and just every class. I think you got to try and get three because, you know, if you're not recruiting the five-star guys who are ready to play when they come in as freshmen, you've got to get a bunch of guys. You've got to build up your depth because you don't know who's going to, you don't know who's going to pan out. You know, you don't know who's going to develop. You don't know how these guys are going to develop. And so in some ways you have to sort of attack it with numbers and not go for quantity over quality. Get as much quality as you can, but get some quantity too and try and coach guys up and develop them. But even for the schools that are recruiting the five-star offensive linemen, they still probably want to take 3-0 linemen at least every year. Because you just have to have numbers there. I think every year it's important. Brock Madonic. Hey, Chris, two questions here for you. One, do you like Pitt's chances with the McKenzie twins who visited over the weekend? Two, do you like Pitt's chances with Rodney Gallagher, though it's early? Let's see here. The McKenzie twins. So that's Dominique and Marcus McKenzie. They're from Utah. They visited over the weekend, took their official visits. They were new offers from Brennan Marion when he became the new Pitt wide receivers coach. I think Dominique McKenzie was maybe the first recruit that Marion offered after he got hired as Pitt's receivers coach. The offer to his twin brother Marcus McKenzie came a little bit later, but not too much. They're both athletic guys, skill guys. They're fast. This is the biggest thing. They have speed. I think they both won. They were like first and second in the Utah State track championships. I forget what they ran, probably the 100 or 200 or something like that. And so it's just a lot of speed. And I mean, you want to get speed, obviously, as much as you can. I do like their chances. Those guys have a lot of visits left. This is the thing. It's funny and it's hard to predict because you look at the recruits who visited this past weekend. And like I said, there's eight guys who I think are legit targets, you know, minus the guy who's already committed and minus the guy who, you know, there were 10 visitors. You take out the guy who's already committed. You take out the guy who doesn't have an offer. That leaves you with eight. Out of those eight, I feel really good about their chances, probably with at least seven of them. I feel really good about their chances, even knowing they have future, you know, official visits coming. You just don't know how those visits are going to go. You know, I feel like their experiences at Pitt are strong enough to overcome even some good official visits. But if they go somewhere and have a great official visit, I mean, like the McKenzie twins, like we're talking about, Dominique and Marky, or Marky, Marcus, me and him, we're not cool like that. I can't call him Marky. Those two guys are going to Arizona. I think there's a chance you have a really good time taking an official visit to Arizona. It seems like the kind of place where you could have a lot of fun on an official visit. Does it necessarily mean that Pitt will automatically lose those guys to Arizona? Not necessarily, but you just don't know how that's going to go. So I feel really good about their chances with those guys. Feel really good about their chances with Tyrese Fearby, and feel really good about their chances with Marcus Peterson. Feel really good about their chances with Brian Parker, the offensive lineman from Cincinnati. But you just don't know. You just don't know what's going to happen over the next few weeks as these guys take other official visits. So it's tough to handicap, you know, and I think even the Pitt coaches would have a hard time. Coaches usually have an idea of where a recruit is going to go or what a recruit's going to do. Yeah, I mean, I think when you talk to different coaches off the record, different schools, nah, we're not going to get him. Yeah, he's probably going to go here. We're going to get that guy. I mean, they'll say things like that. You know, I mean, I think coaches have an idea of what they're going to get and who they're going to get, you know, just from past experience. I think college coaches will come out of this first official visit weekend and came out of this first official visit weekend with strong feelings one way or the other about whether they'll get this guy or whether they'll get that guy. But ultimately, I think if they were telling the truth, they really don't know. They really don't know because this was the first visit for any of these kids. And not just their first official visit, but in some cases, their first college visit. And if it wasn't their first college visit, it's the first college visit they've taken in 15 months or longer. And the last time was when they were, you know, sophomores in high school, if not younger. So it's too hard to handicap right now. I could go put in future cast picks for Pitt for like six of these guys or five of these guys or seven of these guys or eight of these guys. I could. But I just don't think we have all the information yet because the recruits don't have all the information yet. Let's see here. Brock Madonic also asked, do you like Pitt's chances with Rodney Gallagher, though it's early? So, yeah, Rodney Gallagher, this is one I think we talked about him last week on the podcast because he was part of Pitt's big Tuesday Whippeal Western PA recruiting event. You know, the Pitt coaches, the football coaches had about 15 or 16 guys on campus late afternoon into the evening for an unofficial visit down in the south side. But Rodney Gallagher showed up a couple hours earlier than that, went to the Peterson Events Center because he is a class of 2023 big-time prospect in both football and basketball. And this is pretty significant because he is, and I did talk about this last week because it was the night after, you know, we talked on Wednesday night. He visited Pitt on Tuesday along with those other guys. And just briefly about Rodney Gallagher, Laurel Highlands 2023 recruit, basketball offers, football offers, Power 5, major national recruiting, both sports, top 100 player in the class of 2023 for football. Definitely getting his share of interest and offers in basketball. And I think he's good enough to play both sports in college. He's definitely good enough to play either sport in college, and he might be just good enough that coaches in both sports would allow him to play both sports. I think Jeff Capel and Pat Narduzzi both would go for it. It hasn't really happened around here anytime recently, but I think they would both go for it because he's good enough to pull it off, and he's good enough. He would mean that much to each program if they were to get him. And it seems like he wants to play both sports. Where does Pitt stand with him? It is early. Like you said, he's a 2023 recruit. He's going in his junior year of high school. It's going to be a long time before he picks a school. I like Pitt's chances. Yeah, I know I just got done with this whole long rant about these guys that took one official visit and it's hard to handicap and all this stuff. I like where Pitt stands on both fronts, football and basketball, with Rodney Gallagher. I don't know if they're going to get him. I don't know if it's going to work out. There's a lot of time between now and then. A lot of things can go right and a lot of things can go wrong in terms of Pitt's pursuit of Rodney Gallagher. But as it stands right now, on June 8th, 2021, I like their chances. I think they're in really good shape with him. I might even call them the favorite at this point, which doesn't count for a whole lot considering he's a year and a half away from signing his letter of intent. But I might even go so far as to call them the favorite. I think they're in really strong shape with him, particularly after this past Tuesday, when I think he really saw what Pitt is and saw what it's like to be around both programs, football and basketball. Let's see here. Let's Coaster King says, saw tight end Mason Taylor just got bumped to a 4-star today, and then saw we are currently his only scheduled official visit. Think we can pull him in this weekend. And let me bring up Mason's profile. We'll talk about him real quick. I'm not sure what official visits he has coming up ahead or after this Pitt visit, but this is the one he's got scheduled right now. He's a 4-star tight end prospect at St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale. That's obviously a very prominent school that has turned out a lot of talent, and I think everybody knows about it. Pitt is currently his only scheduled official visit, at least according to the Rivals.com database. We will work on confirming that with him to see what other visits he might have scheduled coming up. And Mason Taylor, I mean, a guy who's in Florida, I think he's got family in Western PA. I forget. Just trying to look real quick. I know Arizona was another prominent school for Mason Taylor, but it's tough to get a read on guys from Florida. Partially because they're far away and you don't get a lot of opportunities to talk to them and kind of interact with them and get a feel for what where they're leaning or what they're thinking. That would be a big one. Yeah, 4-star tight end prospect. I think Pitt would be more than happy to have that. I don't think there's any question, but we'll see. And I think we'll get a better sense of Mason Taylor and kind of where he stands heading into the weekend, the visit weekend, and then certainly coming out of the official visit weekend. We're talking about the first official visit. Coaster King, you're asking about can Pitt land him. You think about some of the things I already said about guys who took their first official visit this past weekend and how it was unlikely that they were going to get a commitment out of those guys. Mason Taylor kind of in the same boat in that he this is his first official visit as far as we know. It might be tough, because these guys do want to enjoy the recruiting process. It's an experience of recruiting process. And I can't entirely blame them. I mean, it's an exciting process, and it's fun. And colleges and coaches are willing to do a lot of things for you, so you should maybe let them while you can. Josh Newark says, "Peak, silly question, but with Pitt with preview magazines coming out, Athlon ranks Pitt's quarterback position at number 8. Number 8 in the country? Or number 8 in the ACC? I'm going to guess number 8 in the country. Look, here's the thing with Kenny Pickett. I mean, I think around the country, people would look at it and say, well, this is a guy who's going to be a fourth-year starting quarterback, fifth-year senior. He decided to come back. He's thrown for a bunch of yards. Willed Pitt to victory on a couple of occasions. He ran for a bunch of touchdowns last year in addition to the touchdowns he threw. And I think I could see how people around the country would value that situation pretty highly. And rightfully so. And I think Pitt is in good shape with quarterbacks. I mean, we were sitting here during the Panther Lair show live stream that night in December or whenever it was when he announced that he was coming back for another year. We didn't break the news. He broke the news. He tweeted it. But we talked about it right then, and I think everybody was rightfully excited about the fact that they were getting Kenny Pickett back. It sort of kicks that can down the road a little bit on having to break in a brand new starting quarterback. I think at the same time, we all know there are things that Kenny Pickett has to do better. Kenny Pickett knows there are things that he has to do better. We all know that he's got, I don't want to say holes in his game, but certainly areas for improvement. And him improving in those areas is going to be, it's obviously crucial to their success this season on offense, because the team's success this season is, hinging largely on the success of the offense. The offense is going to hinge on the success of Kenny Pickett. Now, there are a lot of factors that go into it. His receivers and tight ends need to hold on to the ball. He plays a part in that. His offensive line needs to give him a little better protection. He plays a part in that, too. Running backs in the running game, I mean, he can make some checks and calls, but that's mostly about the O-linemen and the running backs. But, yeah, I mean, I think on the whole, it's better to have Kenny Pickett than to not. He needs to take a little bit of a step forward in addition to, like, everybody else in the offense taking a step forward. Kevin Plaucha, who always gives us a shout out, we really appreciate him. Oh wait, Josh Newark just followed up. I'll get back to you in a second, Kevin. Josh Newark followed up and said number 8 quarterback situation in the ACC. Now, that's a little more interesting. I guess yeah, it wouldn't be the number 8 quarterback situation in the country. I would have to look at what the other 7 quarterback situations are in the ACC. I mean, there's obviously guys like Sam Howell at North Carolina, and obviously Clemson has recruited really well. You know, would you take Kenny Pickett or Phil Dracovic? I think that one goes to Boston College, right? I would have to look at these other situations, though, and is Derek King coming back off a knee injury? Is that a better situation than Kenny Pickett? I think I'd be hard-pressed to say it is. I might give Pickett the edge there, but I'd have to look and see what the other 7 are that they put above Pickett. And maybe they're talking about the entire quarterback situation, too. I mean, I think, Clemson has certainly recruited well at quarterback over the last few years. And, if they're looking at the entire depth situation, then it's hard to say that Pitt's in a great spot. I mean, their backups have not really shown a whole lot to be impressed by, I think, in the playing time that they've gotten. Although Davis Bevel looked good in the spring game, and I think Nick Paddy looked pretty solid in the spring game as well. So maybe even there's some improvement there, development there, progression there. Those guys are going to have to play this year. The backup quarterbacks are going to get time. Kenny Pickett missed games in 2019, missed games in 2020. I guess he was healthy all of 2018. He wasn't entirely healthy. I think he got hurt in the Georgia Tech game in 2018, and then came back in, I think. But either way, I mean, the last 2 years, he's had to miss time. And in 2019, he only missed one game, and that was the Delaware game, and he probably could have played if it wasn't Delaware, and maybe they almost needed him to play, even though it was Delaware. But still, I mean, he got hurt enough that it was a consideration, one that they ultimately acted on, to keep him out of the game. In 2020, he missed, 2 games? Miami and Notre Dame, after getting hurt in the Boston College game. And then they had an off week after Notre Dame, so who knows if he would have even played that week. And when they go down to Florida State the week after the off week, they put Nick Paddy in the goal line to protect Pickett a little bit more. So, I don't think you're playing the odds. Well, you are playing the odds. I don't think you're rooting for Pickett to get hurt. You don't want it to happen, but you are playing the odds a little bit that he probably will get hurt. But, I mean, the odds of the last 2 seasons favor him missing at least a game or 2 due to injury, particularly with the way he runs, the way he exposes himself to hits by taking off and running, which is a strength. That's one of the things he does well is, he can run really well. and that gives him an opportunity to make some plays. It also gives him an opportunity to take some shots. And if that happens, you're going to run the risk of an injury. So I think you're going to need Bevel at some point this year. You're going to need Patty at some point this year. Maybe you're going to need Joey Yellen at some point this year. One of those guys, if not more, are going to get called on to step in an important situation, not just in like a garbage time situation. You know, it'd be nice for Pitt to have a few of those garbage time situations the right way, not the Oklahoma State 2017 garbage time situation or Georgia Tech 2017 garbage time situation, but like a garbage time when you are winning, you know, when you are dominating and winning, but with a comfortable lead late in the game, you know, then obviously you'll get a Patty or a Bevel or whoever in, but some real reps and real snaps. I mean, it's going to happen at some point, and one of those guys is going to have to be ready. Who it is and how ready they'll be, we'll find out. All right, yeah, Kevin Plouchy gave us a shout-out, said, glad to be back again on a Tuesday night, and Kevin's one of our biggest supporters. You should follow him on Twitter. I think he's Kevin Plouchy, Plouchy. I mean, the guy is maybe our biggest fan here on the podcast, so we definitely appreciate Kevin. You know, good to see you again, buddy. Let's see here. Bart Simpson said, until last season, I haven't missed a game. Since high school, I can't wait to just sit down at Heinz Field and watch the kids fight it out. It's the little things in life. Yeah, it's going to be fun to have a crowd at Heinz Field again. And, you know, it wasn't even just the game and the atmosphere and whether there was a crowd in the stands or there wasn't. Because to some extent, I sort of block that out during the game. Focus so much on what's going on, trying to pay attention to things. And, I noticed maybe when they play Sweet Caroline or something like that, but I'm really just kind of focused. But it was going to the game, and it was getting to the game, driving into the game, and sort of everything kind of happening around the game. Not even just tailgating, but just there's a buzz outside Heinz Field on game day that just wasn't there last year. I mean, last year it was just walking into a scrimmage, basically, you know, with no fans, nobody really, nobody out there doing anything. You know, I mean, there's just no one around. It was just empty. It was dead. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing, people around the stadium. Even though I get there pretty early, I mean, there's not a lot of tailgating going on usually when I get there. I mean, there's still people. And I think that'll be fun. I've been looking forward to that. T-Man says, Chris, there seems to be a lot of hype with Brennan Marion. Do you think there's any drop-off in terms of recruiting between him and Chris Beatty? Would you say that Marion is or could be a better recruiter? I don't know. That's hard for me to compare. You know, we've got results that Chris Beatty produced, right? Brennan Marion, we've got no sample size. You know, he hasn't gotten a single commitment. He hasn't gotten anybody to sign. He's gotten, you know, some guys to take official visits, but that's kind of it. And that's not a knock on him. It's just a matter of time. He just got hired a couple months ago, and it was a dead period up until last week. So, you know, it's a bit of a different situation. Marion got hired in 2019, I think it was. It was like the spring of 2019, right? February 2019, January 2019. And that spring, he brought in a ton of top underclassmen from Virginia for visits, unofficial visits during spring camp. Marion didn't have that same opportunity. Chris Beatty definitely had a lot of connections, as a former high school coach in, Tidewater area. I think he had a lot of connections that way. I think Brennan Marion has developed some of those kind of connections. We'll see what it produces. You know, we just don't have much to go on yet. Now, yeah, I mean, players seem to really like him. The recruits seem to like him. He's an energetic, excitable guy. He's, you know, a charismatic guy. He's got a, you know, real electric personality. I mean, he's exciting. And you watch him coach. I was watching him coach at the prospect camp on Sunday. And I mean, yeah, you can see how he engages with the players and you can see how they respond to him. We'll see what it turns into with recruiting. I'm not in a position right now to say, you know, that he's better than Chris Beatty just because we saw what Beatty was able to do, and we haven't really gotten that full sense of Marion just yet. Let's see here. TRR says, is the Kansas cornerback in the portal a real possibility for Pitt? I'm not sure which corner you're talking about, TRR, I'm going to be honest, and I really don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they add somebody else. They've got a little room on the scholarships where they potentially could, I think, add someone else, maybe. I don't know if they will or not. And I don't know if I look at a spot and say, boy, they still really need to add another guy here. Even corner, you know, with Damari Mathis back and then all the guys who played last year, Marquez Williams and A.J. Woods and Rashad Battle, you bring in Khalil Anderson, you got Javonte Royal ready to play this year. You never turn down, you never turn down a talented player, obviously, but I don't know if I look at it and say, boy, they definitely need to add somebody there. So I don't really know. Josh Newark says, going to show my ignorance on recruiting, but I saw Charlie Partridge tweet out a camp Pitt coaches were attending at Florida International. Can you explain what that is about? Yeah, they'll have these mega camps. Some schools will put on these mega camps and invite coaches from all over the place. You know, Pitt's prospect camp on Sunday had about 30 schools represented, but you had just like a handful of MAC schools and then a bunch of like FCS and D2 and lower division schools. And that really benefits the players. You know, because say there were 400 players at Pitt's camp on Sunday. 390 of them are not going to play at Pitt, are not going to be recruited by Pitt, are not going to be targeted by Pitt, and maybe aren't even Power 5 caliber players. That's okay, though, because those guys who went and showed up, and they might not be a Power 5 caliber player. They might not be an FBS caliber player. They might not even be an FCS caliber player. Well, there's D2 schools there. You know, there's FCS schools there. You can get seen by coaches from a lot of schools. And, you know, I think camp at FIU, I think there was another one, maybe in Gainesville or somebody that Pitt was going to go to. And it was the same kind of thing. It was a mega camp, and the coaches were going to be there. And it's an opportunity to see recruits, and you're basically just going to watch them work out and see what you think about, just evaluate. You know, it's an evaluation opportunity. Let's see here. Talk is Pitt says, I don't think you can really base last year for any backups, to be honest. I think it's a bit unfair. I don't see them keeping Pickett in the whole game versus some of the non-conference games. I see Bevel taking over. If you're talking about the quarterbacks, yeah, I mean, really the only backup quarterbacks that we saw a lot of last season was Joey Yellen, you know, because he started and played the whole Miami game, started and played a decent chunk of the Notre Dame game, half of the Notre Dame game. I forget when they pulled him and went with Nick Patty and then Davis Bevel for a little bit, if it was halftime or what it was. You got a good game and a half or so out of Joey Yellen, got a few snaps here and there out of Davis Bevel, got some different situational work out of Nick Patty. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. You don't really know what you have out of these backup quarterbacks. You know, we haven't really seen them. Nick Patty came in and played the whole Delaware game. He threw an important touchdown against UCF in 2019, scored a couple rushing touchdowns against Florida State last year, and I think looked generally solid in the spring game this year. You know, I think Davis Bevel looked pretty good in the spring game, and I think Nick Patty looked generally pretty solid in the spring game and moved the offense fairly well. I guess my overall point is I just don't know. I don't know what those guys are going to be able to do. I don't know what Pitt has in those guys, and I don't know what you can expect out of those guys. So it's hard for me to have any real evaluations or expectations for those backup quarterbacks because we just have such a small sample size. And yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you. Say I don't see them keeping Pickett in the whole game versus some of the non-conference games. I see Davis Bevel taking over. Yeah, I think best case scenario, you're in a good enough position against, you know, Western Michigan or UMass or whoever it is that you can pull Kenny Pickett and give some meaningful reps to Davis Bevel or Nick Patty or whoever you want to put out there, whoever you feel like has earned those significant reps. That would be the ideal situation to be in that position. Don't know if it's going to happen or not. You know, it's always kind of a wild card. It's been a wild card in these kind of games with Pat Narduzzi, even though he's emerged victorious in, you know, I think all of them. But it's been a bit of a wild card to get into that position. If they do, though, it's a good opportunity for Bevel and Patty and maybe Yellen. You know, I don't know if the ship has sailed on Yellen. Sort of felt like it did with the way he played last year. But again, to Takis Pitt's point, I mean, you know, I don't know if you base a whole lot on last year because it being last year. Brock Madonic says, what do you expect from Deion Hayes this season? I expect him to be a reserve defensive end. I expect him to see snaps and playing time. He's going to be behind Deslin Alexandra and Habakkuk Baldonado and John Morgan. I think those three are going to play really well. I think Baldonado and Morgan in particular are really lining up for a huge season. Alexandra, we've kind of seen what he can do. He's a really solid player. And then I think Deion Hayes comes in there as the fourth D end, unless he keeps growing and then grows into a defensive tackle. But I think he comes in there as the fourth D end and contributes in that role. If those guys are up to it, all four of them will play a lot. I think all three of Baldonado and Morgan and Alexandra are definitely going to play a lot. And then I think if Hayes earns his way onto the field, he'll get in that rotation as well. Charlie Partridge will rotate those guys. As long as they earn it. And, you know, so that'll be up to Deion. Coaster King, do you think attendance may actually be higher than normal this fall because we missed last year entirely and people will want to come out more? No, I don't. Just because I don't have any faith in Pitt fans. I don't have any faith in Pitt fans showing up. I've never been able to predict when Pitt fans were going to show up or what Pitt fans, you know, what kind of attendance Pitt fans were going to have. I mean, you go look at the Duke. They played Duke the week after they beat Clemson, and attendance was still kind of lousy. I mean, it was a nice day, too. It was a beautiful day. I remember back in 2013, they went down and beat Duke 58-55 or something like that. It was a crazy high-scoring game. Tom Savage threw for like 400 yards. Devin Street and Tyler Boyd were awesome. James Conner had a great game and all this stuff. And they came back. I think the next week they played like Virginia or somebody. It was like homecoming. It was a beautiful afternoon, and there was just nobody there. So I can't really make predictions on what Pitt fans are going to do. I've given up on predicting Pitt fans, so I don't know what's going to happen there with attendance. Talk is Pitt. How well do you think Dorian Ford will do along with Elliot Donald? I don't know. I don't know. There's depth on the defensive line. Both of those guys are defensive tackles. They've got David Green and Tyler Bentley and Devin Danielson and Kalijah Kancey. I mean, they've got a solid two deep of D tackles this year. So those guys, if they're going to get on the field, if Ford and Donald are going to play this season and play significant snaps, I expect them to play. I think they'll get reps because they can play in as many as four games and still redshirt. So I expect them to play. Significant snaps is going to depend on how well they do. You know, I mean, they're going to have to earn it because it's not like there's a wide open spot there that's up for grabs. I still wonder if Dorian Ford's going to move to offense, to be honest with you. So we'll see about that. S-Mac, do you see Naquan Brown getting playing time? I don't know. I think he's going to be behind those defensive ends that we talked about. I think he's going to come in kind of undersized, maybe even play outside linebacker for a little while. I think it might take him a while to get on the field, but we'll see. I think he's a talented player, a good pass rusher. He might have some situational opportunities up ahead for him. 1-2 says Duke after the Clemson game was overcast and cold. I mean, yeah, in 2016, yeah, I think that was in like November. I mean, it's not going to be perfect weather, but damn, man, we're Pittsburgh, right? You know, Pittsburghers are not supposed to be dissuaded by weather. Supposed to get out there and I don't think it was raining that day. It might have been a little chilly, but it's not that bad. Wait, Josh Newark says it was cold as hell and freezing over, and Pitt was only 6-4. Yeah, but they had just come off beating Clemson on the road. I'm going to look up what the weather was on that day, see if we can find out. I don't remember it being that freezing cold. It was November 19th. Let's see if we can find a weather report for November 19th, 2016. Hold on. Now I'm really curious because I don't remember it being that terrible. Weather in November 2016. Let's see here. What do we got? Sorry, I know this is riveting radio here. November 19th, 2016. High of 57. No, a high of 61, actually. Okay, by game time, it was down into the 30s. Okay, in the 30s. I mean, really, guys? The 30s? That's going to bother you? Snowing? It wasn't snowing. Josh Newark says it was snowing. There's no snow in the forecast here. Looking at timeanddate.com, it doesn't look like any precipitation. It was mostly cloudy. It was like 37 degrees. It was warm in the morning. It was about 37 degrees. It got colder as the day went on. But, I mean, come on. Are we really scared by 30 degrees? Are we really worried about 37 degree weather? We're going to skip a game, you know, the week after they beat Clemson on the road? Anyway, no way. You guys are crazy. I mean, maybe cold, but come on. You're Pittsburgh. Get a flask and get in there. All right, final thing. Talk is Pitt says, pretty sure Elliot Donald's a defensive end. No, I think he's going to be a D-tackle. I don't think he's going to be coming off the edge. I know he's a little bit taller, but I think he's going to be a defensive tackle. I think that's his spot where he's going to have to where he's going to play to get on the field. But we'll see. I mean, I don't think anything's locked in. I think guys can move around, but I think he's been gearing up to play inside at defensive tackle. All right, I think we'll wrap it up there. Make sure if you are watching the live stream, go on our YouTube channel and subscribe to PantherLair.com YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/PantherLaircom, PantherLaircom. It's where you're watching this live stream right now. If you're watching it, go subscribe so we can get those subscriber numbers up and know that we're doing a good job. We definitely appreciate everybody who chimes in and joins us on the live stream, gets in the conversation. It's fun arguing with you guys about what the weather was like 5 years ago. I will continue to maintain that it was not that bad, that more people should have showed up, but that's, I'm sitting in the warm comfort of the, I was sitting in the warm comfort of the press box, so I can't really say too much about, you know, I can't give you too much grief about not braving the weather, but come on, they beat Clemson a week earlier, guys. Come on, you can go to that game. All right, make sure you stay tuned to the website, panther-lair.com, pittsburgh.rivals.com, and Panthers Insider Show, Saturday morning on 93.7 The Fan, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., an hour of Pitt sports talk. It's kind of like this podcast, just on the radio waves and without you guys in the live stream. But I'm going to spend the whole hour this week talking about how the weather was nice for that Duke game in 2016. Anyway, thanks again for everybody who chimed in. It was fun to chat with you. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel and, you know, have a great rest of the week. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the weekend. Stay tuned to PantherLair.com for all the official visit and recruiting updates. And we'll talk to you next Tuesday night, 8:30 p.m. right here on YouTube for the PantherLair Show.